57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 47 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Hope you guys are doing okay. I say okay, Reed, Chase, because obviously you guys probably weren't doing great Saturday, but then Sunday comes around, and with the news of the playoffs and all that stuff, us getting in there, hopefully you guys are doing a little bit better, and hope you guys are doing solid on this Monday, new week. Fresh new week to get into things. And well, I'm excited, right? Because we got a lot of exciting stuff lined up and I can't wait to share it with you. I'll do that with you guys in just a few minutes. But first, let me get a couple things out the way. We can't call it a victory Monday. We're not going to do that. Not even close. I mean, I don't even think we could even sniff saying that, because you talk about a beatdown. That's what we got. We got a beatdown this weekend, man. And I shouldn't laugh because it's not funny, but I'm just saying, I mean, that was an old fashioned beatdown. You know, through and through, right? So it is what it is. You got to give it to them. Georgia played a good game. We did not. We did not show up ready to play. I thought we looked a little outside of the defense. I just thought we didn't look ready for it. I was a little, you know, concerned, wondering how we showed up to this game, knowing the injuries we had, knowing the big field that we were playing on. And unfortunately, we did not get the job done. That said, we still found ourselves in the playoffs. A lot of conversations about that. A lot of people have a lot of opinions, right? There's, you know, pundits, former players, everybody's chiming in. We haven't got to discuss that yet here on the Miller's Edge. So we're going to do just that. I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk about the SEC championship. We're definitely, without a doubt, going to talk about what happened in Saturday's game. We'll break it down. Plus, we'll talk about, you know, the playoff picture, my thoughts. Did I think, you know, all the moves are the right moves? Because, I mean, there's a couple teams left out. You got JMU in there. We're going to dive into all this stuff coming up here in a minute. So make sure you guys are buckled up, because there's going to be plenty to talk about. We want to talk about it with you, too. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. And, hey, listen, Reed, Chase, I want to give you guys credit. You guys did predict, right? And a lot of people, we left on that note. I know people were like, what in the world? You guys predicted Georgia would walk away with the dub. I want to give you guys credit. We got, hey, listen, we're ball knowers on this show, right? The producers on this show are ball knowers. They predicted that. Not that it's we didn't want to brag about that, but I want to give my guys credit. And to be fair, listen, I'm not going to take credit because I didn't pick Georgia to win. I can't do that, right? You guys would flame me if I did that. But that's why I kind of did, you know, hint at, hey, I would not be shocked if Georgia won. That was kind of my way of kind of sneaking in there. Hey, I'm low-key kind of thinking Georgia could win that football game. And we'll talk about why that happened here in a minute. But real quick, let me tell you about some of the news that I do have for you guys. We're turning up the heat on this show, right? It's getting cold outside, so we got to turn up the heat, right? We're going to get even more fun, exciting on this show, get more people involved, get more people in the conversations. Me and Slade came on here after the game. We chopped it up a little bit about what happened. You'll keep hearing from Slade. I talked to TV last night. TV's going to jump back on here soon. But tomorrow, we got a jam-packed day. It's a talking Tuesday, right? So we like to talk a lot. We're going to do just that. We've got Clint Lamb lined up like we always have on Tuesdays. That's good. But we're also going to be joined by Chris Lowe, right? Formerly of ESPN, now with On3. I know Chris really well. I've known him for a while. Chris is a great guy, man. He's going to join us, man. We're going to talk everything Alabama, college football playoffs, all that. And tomorrow as well, I might even have to rearrange a little bit because I want to make sure we have plenty of time, ample time with everybody. But also, as of now, we've even got y'all's guy, Brooks Austin, the film guy, lined up for tomorrow. So tomorrow, you talk about a talking Tuesday. It's an all-star lineup talking Tuesday. We got Chris Lowe, we got Clint Lamb, and we've got Austin, Brooks Austin, the film guy of the Film Guy Network tomorrow. So we're going to do plenty of talking myself, Reed, Chase, you guys on the phone lines today. Then tomorrow, man, we're lined up. We're lining up with guests. So make sure you guys, only thing we ask, man, is we keep picking up the heat for you guys here, man. just drop a like on the YouTube stream. You know what I mean? Any type of ratings, all that stuff. Always, man. Drop those ratings, all that good stuff. That always helps us out. That's all we ask, man. And we'll keep bringing heat for you guys in the near future because we got plenty of stuff to dive into. Ricky said, in other words, don't call in tomorrow. No, I'm not saying that. If we can squeeze a couple minutes, we definitely will do that. But we will be jam-packed with guests, which is a good thing because you guys like when we chop it up with other people. So, yeah, that's what we plan on doing. Let's do this. Let's hit a timeout. That way we can come back. We can dive into this breakdown. I've got plenty to talk about with this SEC championship game. If you guys jumped on here with us, me and Slade, if you listen to me on the post-game show, you probably already have an idea of my thoughts. But don't worry. I've watched a little bit more. I'm going to go back and I'm going to come here now. I'm going to give you guys my thoughts and breakdown on what happened. Why the hell Alabama got their ass beat in the SEC championship game? I'll tell you why, or at least why I think it happened, or what did happen when we come back. Plus, we'll dive into the playoff picture. Alabama, as you guys know, in the playoff scene, rematch maybe, sweet revenge, right? Traveling to Norman, Oklahoma, December 19th. I saw Jim Nagy, who is their general manager. He posted something. I know Jim really well, man. Great friend. Maybe we'll try to get him on the show. Which he's come on here before, but before he was general manager. I don't know if he still would be down to do that now. He's with them. But he posted a picture. There's some snow in Norman. So who knows, man? Could be a snowy day. Could make for a really interesting first-round matchup. But we'll talk about all that and more coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Don't go anywhere. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, boys, let's go ahead and, boys and girls, we have some women that listen to the show. Shout out to all the women that listen to the show, man. Shout out to everybody listening to the show. All right, let's dive into this breakdown, guys. Whew, where do we start? ¿Por dónde empiezo? Where do I start? That's how you say it in Spanish. If anybody was wondering what you guys weren't, but don't worry, it's all good. All right. 28-7, man. How did we get here? Well, I'm just going to straight up say it, man. We got whooped. We pretty much got whooped in almost every phase and facet of the game. But let's backtrack a little bit, right? How this game started. All right, we start off defensively. Pretty solid drive. Pretty solid series. Getting a stop. You know, first play, right? Smart by them. They notice that we're very aggressive, especially on early downs when we are expecting run. If you guys haven't noticed, we dialed up a lot of pressure like that. What do they do? Well, first play of the game, they dump it out to the flat. Quick screen, real quick, big gain. And I'm not going to lie, after seeing that, I was like, okay, all right. It's going to be one of those types of games, right? A little bit of a chess match here. But sure enough, man, defense started off the game pretty hot. I mean, it had some energy. We saw a couple big hits, guys flying around. Obviously, there's some concerns knowing LT Overton was out. Kelby Collins, his backup, was out. Like I told you guys, you would see 11, Jordan Renard filling in that spot. Then some Keon Keeley, especially on some of those passing downs. Thought those guys did a pretty decent job. There's a couple of times you could see, you know, Jordan Renard, you know, defending the run a little bit light compared to LT. But nonetheless, I thought those guys did a decent job. But again, defensively, start fast. You know what I mean? Like, I thought we did a decent job there. Then, man, offensively, I'll be honest with you. You know, three straight runs. Two running plays, then that play by with Lotsier Brooks. I'll just say this. I know a lot of people were kind of like, well, what was that? Well, to be fair, not necessarily the play call I would have gone for, but again, I'm not getting paid to do it. Here it is right here on the stream. If you look at it, it really is just a bust. If these guys, this is on the receivers, right? This is what we call an ME. You got two guys running side by side like they're joined at the hip. And you got a corner just sitting here wide open, right? Like unblocked. I mean, there's clearly a bust. If one of these guys blocks this corner, I mean, I would argue I'm taking his speed to beat this linebacker right here all day. That's going to be a first down and probably more, guys. Look at all this grass. So before we jump on coaches and coordinators, which, again, I do think play calling could have been better in this game. I hate being that guy, but I'm just being transparent. That's what we do on this show. You got to see this stuff, and that's why I'm pulling up the tape so you guys can see this. This is that first third down that everybody was complaining about. Oh, what are we doing? Well, look at this. Like, look at this angle, guys. I don't know what made them leave the corner unblocked, but if you block that corner, I mean, this guy is without a doubt beating this linebacker in a foot race. And that's a lot of grass. So definitely the first down. That being said, what really happened? Well, the block punt leads to points, right? You're putting your defense in short fields, bad positions. I mean, there's only so much they can do. They have been holding up pretty well in tough spots, you know, against LSU, South Carolina. Even when they were put in bad positions, holding teams to field goals. This time around, you're going against a Georgia team that's got that vengeance, you know, the vengeance in their mind, you know what I mean? A really good football team. It's tough. So I'll say this, just to, you know, put it on the surface level real quick. Offense, we got our ass whooped. Special teams battle, we got our ass whooped. Turnover battle, I know they had one interception, but you give that to them, right? They won the turnover battle. Defensively, I'm not going to knock our guys too much. It wasn't our best game, but we didn't play bad. I felt really what it was you sense that our guys were, you know, getting a little worn out as the game went on. I thought we started pretty solid. Then throughout the course of the game, we were giving up more on the runs. A couple things, you know, on the back end, right, giving up some plays. But defensively, I mean, they were doing enough. But when you put them in such short field positions, it's tough. And really, that was one of the biggest keys to this game. Georgia controlled the time of possession in the game. They dominated, you know, the positioning battle. I mean, really, if you look at where they started their drives, I mean, literally damn near all the times that they scored, they started pretty much in our territory except for like one time, if I remember that correctly. So we just did so many things in this game to put ourselves behind the eight ball. And when I say to beat ourselves, I'm not making excuses. Georgia beat us, but we also did a lot to attribute to that. You get what I'm saying? Like there's a balance here. But outside of, you know, a couple of moments on offense, you know, later in the game, we had no rhythm, guys. No rhythm. We finished with negative rushing yards, right? Negative. Now, you got to remember, in college, it's a whole net system. So you include the negative yardage from the sacks. I think Ty was like negative 28 due to sacks, right? So when you look at that, I mean, I think we technically probably rushed for like 30 yards or so, but with that, or a little bit less, whatever it was, we didn't hardly, here, matter of fact, let me pull the numbers real quick. We'll go back to the tape here in a second. Daniel Hill, 4 carries, 11 yards. A.K. Deere, 3 carries, 10 yards. I mean, Ty Simpson, 6 carries, negative 28 yards. I mean, guys, I mean, that was honestly embarrassing, like the whole rushing deal. Now, you know, Georgia had been playing really good defense as of late. I mentioned it. I said, hey, man, like these guys are not the same defense that we played the first time around. And I even thought, I'm like, man, they're picking up where they left off the second half, because they played a lot better that second half of that first game. And boy, I'll just say this, man, those dudes to me just, they look like they're playing with an edge, right? Their whole team, really. I feel like they were out physical in us, outside of, you know, some moments our defense had, but it just looked like they wanted it more. You know what I mean? Like, for some reason, and I know we were battling injuries, I'll get to all that, I'll explain all that. But to me, it just felt like between Ty and some of our guys up front, and it just we didn't have that confidence to us. You know what I mean? And it looked like they were the hunters and we were the huntees, right? That's what it looked like. And it looked like we were accepting it. And I couldn't figure it out. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's because our guys felt, hey, you know, we're going to probably be in the playoffs, whatever. I doubt that's it, but it just felt like they gave us too much that we couldn't handle. And I'll be honest, once you start off the way we started off with the block punt, then the interception, and those both leading to points, it really seemed like it took the life out of our team, at least, again, offensively, for sure. But you got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, Georgia did their thing defensively. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, like, I know we didn't have rhythm for a number of reasons, but part of it was the fact that Georgia's defense, they were all over us, right? They were smothering us up front on the line of scrimmage. One of the biggest turnarounds from this game is they were getting much better pressure on the quarterback this time around, which I thought that was going to be a big key. I told you guys, this is what they're going to do. I told you, they're probably going to watch some of the Oklahoma stuff. They're going to see LSU, all these other teams that have success. Like, Alabama is going to see a lot of pressure. Like, that is one of the best ways to defend this offense. When you put pressure on this offense, everything is even more out of whack, especially the fact that we can't run the football. And that's what we saw. I told you guys, Georgia's going to bring backers, safe. That's what they do. That's how they generate pressure, and they were successful on it. But not only that, I'll show you guys on the tape. Go look at the back end. Our they had our receivers strapped. You know, the DBs always do the seatbelt thing. They damn sure were doing that all game. None of our guys hardly had any separation. What were we supposed to do? You're getting pressure up front, and you're getting strapped on the back end. And if you're on this offense, I don't really know what to tell you, man. You can't run the football. You're getting strapped up. I mean, there's really nothing you can really do at that point. So, again, you got to tip your hat to these guys. But really, the way I view this game, guys, I mean, there's just a dominant performance by those guys on their side. And for us, it just was another week of a sluggish offense, another week of an offense that looks like we don't have an identity, another week of an offense that looks to be one-dimensional. And then now that we're one-dimensional, that one dimension that we did have going good for us earlier in the year, which is our passing game, I mean, is out of sync and not worth anything either. So then what are you left with? You're left with an offense that can't really do anything. Like, guys, I just want to, like, make this clear. I'm not saying the only reason, but one of the main reasons we scored points was because we can, you know, thank number 15 of Georgia's defense because he got that personal foul penalty, then the pass interference. If it wasn't for that, guys, we probably would have been held scoreless. All right? Now, and I know you guys are mentioning the injuries in here. Listen, I acknowledge the injuries, and I even said on the post-game show, like, that is something to consider. Like, I agree. Like, Parker Brailsford, even though he's out there, I told you guys, he didn't look healthy versus Auburn. He didn't look that great in this game. Like, it is what it is. And we knew that going into this game. Having Jam out, who everybody wrote off and talked about him being the worst running back, well, I think you just found out there's a reason why they continue to play him. Just why, again, you won't hear that from me. I'll never sit on this show and say, oh, get rid of it. No, because I understand why the coaches play these guys, because I know what the guys behind them can do or what they can't do. But now I think you guys understand, yeah, Jam might have a couple games. He's been banged up. But you see, when he's playing like himself, he's the best option, right? Ryan Williams, I mean, we get him the ball early on, which I think was the right. Like, listen, Ryan Williams is the type of guy, he might be struggling with drops. But at the end of the day, listen, you see what the guy can do with the balls in his hands. You have to find a way to just continue to feed him the football. I know some people are going to say, oh, well, he's going through a slump. Listen, he's not going through a slump with the yards after catch. I mean, catching the football, sure. Route running, sure. Dude, I mean, that's one of the only things I feel like you can really do at this point, man. Find your playmakers, get in the football. Jeremy Bernard, I feel like he's a little banged up. He didn't look, you know, super healthy. So I get we had injuries, but at the end of the day, man, there's no other way to sugarcoat it, man. I mean, like, we just got our ass whooped. It was what it was. Georgia looked like a football team out there with the playing up, like, with a mission. I feel like we looked like we were just out there like, man, we're beat up, we're banged up, we're going to try to go out here and see what happens. Like, we just didn't have that edge to us. And once we kind of got behind the eight ball with the block punt interception, it felt like it was all she wrote. But these are my notes from the game. No rhythm offensively. The block punt interception led to points early. Hard to come back from that, clearly. Ty, he just continues to struggle right now. I'm not 100% sure if he, you know, I think part of it is he is a little bit in his head. And if you guys go back and listen to what I used to talk about when everybody used to be calling for him, like when we still have Milroe, and I used to tell you guys, Ty can make all the throws, he can do everything you need him to do. But the one flaw, remember, and again, this is on record. You can go back and listen to all our shows we used to do. I used to tell you every time you guys asked about it, one of his biggest flaws is he has to get over the hump of it. He even said in an interview, like when he does struggle, sometimes it kind of snowballs. And I almost wonder if that's kind of what you're seeing right now, just on a long-term thing. I was referencing more like, hey, in practice, if Ty threw a pick in practice, he gets in his head, he gets frustrated, and then it's hard for him to get out that hole. I feel like we're kind of seeing that right now with he was playing really good, and I think all these expectations were this high. They're asking so much out of the guy, right? Because we don't have much of a running game. And I kept telling you guys, hey, man, it's hard when you put a lot of pressure on one guy. So they used to say the same thing for Milroe. People used to think I was making excuses. I'm like, no, I just know football, man. Like, you can't have one guy just do it all. Like, you can't. This is a team sport. And I think, unfortunately, it's a combination of, I think Ty's a little bit in his head because he's really tough on himself. I think also, I mean, guys, he doesn't have much help. Our running game is I mean, literally, I mean, came back to life briefly against Auburn, and then this game, that I don't know where it was at. I think it got left in Tuscaloosa. I have no idea. I mean, you're asking this guy to make all these plays. I mean, Ryan Williams, who's supposed to be, like, one of the best receivers in the country, man. I mean, like, he's going through a slump. I don't know. I mean, the offensive line, listen, I know on paper they look to be one of the best units, and I will say they've done a much better job protecting, but I also know that there's still holes. There's still holes, and we saw that this game. I mean, Ty faced a lot of pressure. It's hard for him to make plays. We haven't been making many explosive plays. I didn't hardly see any in this game. Third down efficiency, which we dominated in the first game, was non-existent in this game. Throughout majority of the game, we made like one third down, and it's like late in the third quarter, right? Then we started picking some stuff up. Then I talked about what they were doing defensively again, like getting after the quarterback, but strapping us up on the back end, man. And that's, I hate to say it, but that's what you expect out of a Kirby Smart defense. I mean, I'm very familiar with it. I played in it. Like, that's what they like to do. It's a pattern match system, and that's why when everybody's to like try to fight me on that, like, oh, well, like my dad, right? Oh, well, zone, man, Coach Saban's system's overly complicated. I'm like, no, it's overly complicated if you have guys that can't run it, but if you have the right guys that know how to run it, that's what I used to explain. That's what pattern matching does. It takes away all these routes that guys are running. You're not just dropping in flat zones, or it's not just traditional man. I mean, pattern matching, like what they do, that cover seven system. I mean, when they're clicking, it's clicking. You know, and that's what we saw in this matchup. But again, at the end of the day, I mean, just to boil it down, because I know I said a whole word salad of a number of things, and I've got plenty of tape to show you guys, because I know it's easier to show you than I can tell you, which I'll do that. But Ty, you know, continues to be, he continues to struggle. He's 19 of 39 this game for 212 yards. A lot of that coming later in the game. One touchdown, one interception. Gunnar Stockton, on the other hand, who's been playing a lot better, he was 20 of 26. I thought they did a nice job with him. And granted, again, I get he had a lot of short field to work with, but running him, right, is obviously something that works really well for those guys. I thought that if I had to point out something about defense that I didn't do great with, I think it was containing him a little bit. I thought we struggled with that. And then there was a little bit later in the game, some moments where we gave up too much. Georgia ended up rushing for 141, but overall, man, I just thought they played a damn good football game in all phases, offensively, defensively, and special teams. And on the flip side, we didn't. So that was pretty much the story of it, man. You've got the block punt, the interception early on. You start slow, you get behind it, you have no rhythm offensively. Defense is put in tough spots. I mean, that's really about all you can sum it up to, man. I mean, it's about as simple as that. Yes, we have injuries. Yes, those guys should be healthy for the playoffs here in a moment. But let me ask you guys this, and I'm just being completely honest when I ask this. Even when these guys come back from injury, I mean, do you guys feel like before they were injured over the last few weeks that we still look like some, you know, a much more dominant team? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think so. I mean, before Quavis got hurt, before Bernard was out, you know, stuff, before we really knew of Parker Brails were being banged up, if you go back to South Carolina, LSU, and so forth, I mean, we still have been struggling. Even when Jam came back against Auburn, he looked a lot better. But you get what I'm saying? Like, we still have just been kind of just a little out of sync, man. So while I take into consideration the injuries in this game, I fully understand that. I mean, you got to remember, they also had injuries, one to their center, and they still ran for 141. They still looked to accomplish everything they needed to do offensively. So I that's part of the equation. But guys, we have more problems than just injuries. And we've been saying it on this show. And that's why I always tell you guys, it's not about coming on here and just telling you guys what you guys want to hear. No, we're honest, and we give, you know, factual breakdowns. And I think you're starting to see more of what we've been talking about all year, even when we were winning games. It's not about complaining. Oh, because I heard some fans, like, again, we're a show where we break down sports. It's not about fandom on this show. I'm a former player. I'm not like a fan that's just like, oh, we just want to win. No. We're going to break it down. And so when things aren't looking good, we're going to tell you they're not looking good and what can happen if they don't get fixed. And now we're starting to see that. So we'll talk about this because we need to hit a break. What does Alabama need to do moving forward? Because that was one of the questions on my post-game show with Gray. right? You know, Alabama's offense is struggling. What do they need to do over the next 2 weeks to figure this stuff out? So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about the whole playoff picture. I want to get y'all's thoughts on all this stuff. I want to get y'all's thoughts on this championship game. I want to get y'all's thoughts on the playoff picture. What do y'all think about that rematch against Oklahoma? Our way to the championship games, I would probably argue that we honestly got blessed, man. I feel like where we got positioned at in the playoff picture is actually not too bad. We'll talk about that and more coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Quick time
begins and your holiday spirit feels right at home.
Holiday hours Monday through Saturday and Sunday 1 to 5 at Northport.
Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. All right, man, I don't know. Reed, Chase, I there's something I was kind of thinking over the weekend, but I'm like, I don't want people to hear it the wrong way or think anything, but I can't help myself. I feel like I just got to share it, right? Because and before I say this, let me preface by saying this. If anybody takes what I say and makes anything political, makes it about race, makes it about anything other than football, you're weird. And please get out of here, because it's not about that. This is strictly about football. Only about football. Let me preface by saying one more time. This is a football point. Nothing else. So don't take this any other type of way and run with it and try to twist it. No. But I thought about this because I saw Milroe. He was at the game, and shout out to Milroe for going to the game, especially given, I mean, like, dude, a lot of people, I'm not saying everybody, there's been a lot of people that have, I mean, completely ridiculed a guy for, I guess, struggling a little bit in a couple games, which we all do. Anybody that's played a sport or done anything in life, I mean, you've had moments, which I've said that repeatedly, but I get it. People are passionate. They like to point the finger. They like to have one guy to point the finger at. But that was my whole deal. And like, I'm just going to be straight up with this. I feel like a lot of people owe that man an apology. I feel like a lot of people owe an apology. I'm not saying everybody, but the people that were going out their way, name calling and trashing this guy. Again, there's one thing that if you're just critical of a game or play, fine. But personal attacks, going after a guy, I mean, like, people owe this man an apology. Because I think what you're seeing now, and again, let me also say this, this is not a shot at Ty by any means, right? Like, we've been supporting Ty. We always support Ty. I support anybody that wears this. There it is, oh, other side. This A, right? I'm always going to do that. But I think what we've, at least y'all have seen, or some of the people that didn't see this before, we've been talking about this, but that it's never just on one guy, or it's never one guy's fault. One guy can be struggling and playing bad. But I think what you guys are finally seeing is it never is just one guy's fault, and it never has been like that. And that's what we've tried to explain. And we had all these people trying to sit there and say all these things. And when we would say, listen, man, everybody's putting all this blame on number four. But when you don't have a running game, when you don't have consistency at, you know, with protection, you don't have all this other stuff, it's almost like your job is so much harder. And I try to explain that. And some people have said, oh, you're just making excuses again because people are weird and bring color into everything. And I'm like, no, y'all are just beating up a guy who's like, he's doing what he can. And I think you're starting to see probably why not just Coach DeBoer last year, but also, you know, even Coach Saban with Milroe, like, and I'm not saying that I'm putting this on Ty, I'm putting this on more so like, when you have an offensive line that can be a little, you know, inconsistent, when you're not able to run the football, like, you got to resort to, well, what does work or what can work? And I think that's what you're seeing right now. So this is what I would say. Did Milroe have his flaws? Absolutely. Like, everybody does. But I think you finally realize what we've been saying on this show, and anybody that knows football has been saying all this time. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is, and it doesn't matter what type of quarterback he is. If he's a pocket passer, none of that matters. If you're one-dimensional and you can't run the football, None of that matters if your offensive line is inconsistent. None of that matters if you're constantly facing pressure, right? Like Ty's seen at times this year. And none of that matters if your play calling doesn't put you in a great spot. That's football 101. And that's what we've been trying to say on this show. But people choose, you know, to believe what they want to believe from their couch, and they trash the guy who didn't deserve it. And it's that simple. If you don't have those things, you're going to struggle. I don't care who it is. That's why when people used to just swear like, oh, just go put this guy. No, it doesn't work. Even like when people are talking about bench and Ty. Guys, I mean, I know Ty's a little bit in his head and stuff, but I mean, without the running game and some of these other things, I don't think Austin Mack or anybody would just make some drastic difference. If anything, if you had a change of pace guy, if you had a guy like Milroe, he probably would have made a difference because he's a completely different player. But the other guys, I mean, they're all similar. That said, the other reason why I think people owe that dude an apology is because for all the people calling for his job and telling him to leave and they so glad he's gone, ironically, that same guy went on to win an SEC championship, lead his team to the college football playoffs in a four-team system, really was about a play away from going to the national championship game, right? And all that came, and by the way, that was he beat the same Georgia team led by Kirby Smart, different players, but all that while having fewer weapons, right? Because think about this. Again, I told you guys, a little bit of a truth bomb. People are going to get upset. Again, if you make this anything other than football, then you're weird. You can leave. But he did all this with less weapons, right? Everybody talked about our receiver room being the best it's been in years, so we can all agree on that. Don't make excuses. There's less weapons. Worse offensive line play, because that year they gave up like 40-plus sacks. So you can check that box. There's no argument there. And his coordinator, which was, you know, changed, you know, year in and year out, was less experienced. Who was it, Tommy Reese that year? Right? I mean, so I'm just saying, I know this is irrelevant, but I always was bothered by the way people disrespect on a personal level. Again, I don't criticize a play is one thing, but I couldn't help but just say, like, you know what, man, let me just remind people, because there's a lot of loud people, right, in those times that were loud and disrespecting and trashing another B-Side 5 member, one of our guys. But they're really quiet right now, right, when now they realize that we've been right this whole time on this side of things in terms of how football really works. Because I'm just saying, maybe I'm just nudging you. If you were wrong, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, man, damn, I screwed up. I apologize to him. Not to me, to him. That's all I care about. Because y'all made an ass out of y'allself. So, again, one of the nicest dudes you could ever meet, because y'all thought y'all knew everything, and now you're seeing you got somebody that is the type of quarterback you guys wanted, a better receiver room, a better coordinator, all these things. But guess what? When you still have a lack of running game, when you still have a lot of other glaring issues, it doesn't matter. Case closed. We'll end on that. We'll go to a break. When we come back, we'll get back on topic. We got the phone lines open. We'll go to Smitty. We'll talk the playoff picture. Plus, we'll keep talking about this SEC championship game. And we'll keep on rolling right here on this, it's a very interesting Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Art Sport.
Radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-clinic.com
and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to primetimemensclinic.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
generation. Make unforgettable memories with incredible prices on gingerbread kits and Wondershop baking essentials. And step into the holidays only at Target. Restrictions apply.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny this afternoon, the high today 48. Cold tonight with a clear sky, the low 26. For tomorrow and Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny both days with a warming trend. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 47 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we got the chat that's booming, so I need to catch back up on that in a minute, but I know we got the phone lines. Let me catch up on that real quick. 205-342-9904. Check us out on YouTube if you haven't already, at the Miller's Edge. We stream every day. We got Smitty up first. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, how's it going, Christian?
Oh, man, it's great, man. Another day, another dollar.
Hey, looking at Notre Dame fans, all I got to say is garden tools are mad, if you get what I'm saying.
Hold on, wait. Let me let you go ahead, because we'll do hour number two. We'll dive in that whole thing, because that's a whole circus in itself, man. Sounds like you're a firm believer Notre Dame didn't deserve a spot in the playoffs.
Yes, because you should have won the head-to-head against Miami. Sorry, guys. Hey, yes, Notre Dame.
Let me ask you this. So who would you rather see in the playoff? Would you rather see JMU or Tulane, or would you rather see Miami, or hell, even who's somebody else? I don't know, even like a Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, BYU. Yeah, here's the thing. The only reason the G5 is getting the spot so they won't get sued. But I think that time is over, because with transfer portal NIL, they ain't no more Chris Peterson Boise State team, to get what I'm saying. Because they had a shot one of the four teamer. But you don't have a shot at a 12-teamer, I'm sorry, because you don't have the depth. Alabama's struggling with depth right now. They're an SEC team, you know. When it comes to quarterback, I'm always criticized Milroe's turnovers. I'm like, hey, you ain't a drop-back passer. They did a good job for 2 years not having a drop-back pass game, because they knew that wasn't his strength. They won games anyway. But the turnovers always been my issue with quarterback. Hey, you can't struggle at both now. You may be limited, but you can't turn the ball over, because he puts by a bad spot. But with Ty, my issue has always been, because you remember what I said, because I said, we know about the offensive line. We know about the run game. We know Ryan Williams has trouble with ball skills. We know all these things, right? But I always told you, when the play is there, you got to make your plays and make your layups. And because, hey, that interception was a clean pocket. We can blame coaches all we want. But when the running back is open and you throw it at his feet, that ain't on Grubb. And I told people, don't make Grubb out to be the magic elixir, you know, because I thought Sheridan got a raw deal. But the thing is, that fourth down play, folks want to blame the coach. The running back was open in the flat. Quarterback threw it out of bounds on fourth down. You cannot throw the ball out of bounds on fourth down. But what I'm saying is that, I believe, like I said, I never played football at this level. But I know, cause I told you 2 months ago, I was worried about him. He had happy feet. He had happy feet and was shaky against Eastern Illinois, a bad FCS team. That's something I worry about, because if your feet are happy and if you're scared to make a mistake, you're going to be late. I believe if you're a quarterback, you got to have no conscience. Jameis Winston, we make fun of him all the time, his interceptions, but the guy has no conscience, you know, because if you're scared to make a mistake, you're going to be bad. And I think sometimes if the guys are covered, if it's one-on-one, sometimes you may just have to throw it up in the air, you know, make a play. Yeah. Sometimes you may have to. You may get a flag. They throw flags to anything. But with the game, right, I thought that the defense did everything they could. They got put in some bad spots where Gunnar Stockton did not have to win the game. He did not have to throw under rest. He did not have to throw trailing. They were throwing 4 or 5 yard passes, and the players made plays. And Christian, The most disappointing thing about that game was when Ty got hit after that whistle for like a false start or whatever, and none of those offensive linemen jumped on that Georgia player. I was like, why is Tate on the board more upset than you guys?
You know what's crazy? The reason we ended up going live after the game with Slade is because immediately after that, he texted me. I promise to God, he texted me and said, bro, the fact that nobody just defended Ty just then really just ticked me off. He's like, that's crazy. And I'm not with getting, you know, stupid penalties, but you at least have to like show something. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Don't go pushing or punching nobody necessarily, but like, they ain't gonna call a flag if you go address it, go get in somebody's face. You know what I'm saying? You like go defend your guy. That was interesting to me. I agree.
But I know you got to run, but I'll check back in this week. Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I love seeing everybody mad about Alabama getting in. You guys have a good one.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Smitty. You too, bro. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. Man, we got plenty more to talk about. We'll keep talking about this with you guys. We got to talk about the playoff picture, how that whole thing unfolded. Don't forget, tomorrow on the Talking Tuesday, we'll talk with Chris Lowe about it, Clint Lamb about it. And we'll talk about this, maybe break down some film with the film guy, Brooks Austin, as well. Again, that's tomorrow. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
In the NBA, Oklahoma City won its 15th straight game, 131-101 at Utah, and star Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was out with left elbow bursitis. The Lakers got Luka Doncic back on the court. He scored 31 points in a narrow win at Philadelphia, 112-108. The Boston Celtics won their fifth straight, a win at Toronto. Former second baseman Jeff Kent was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame by a committee. The final college football playoff rankings came out, led by number one Indiana, also getting a first round bye, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech. Texas A&M will host number 10 Miami in a first round game. Notre Dame was not selected. It lost its season opener at Miami. Alabama will play at Oklahoma. In the NFL Sunday night game, Houston won 20-10 at Kansas City. Green Bay beat the Bears 28-21. Denver won its 10th in a row. Victories for the Rams and the Seahawks. Jacksonville beat the Colts.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who provide you with the lowest possible price. Come experience the Urban's Working Western Home Team service today. Tell them Van the Boot Man sent you. Roll Tide.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Man, it's been an eventful day. I told you that the people are going to get a little upset, a little truth bomb. Nobody, let me be clear, nobody was stirring any pot. It's just when you revisit it, it just, I'm bringing it up because it was one of my talking points for the last 2-3 years, and we had a lot of people that either chose to ignore what me and my dad talked about, even though we kept trying to tell you guys respectfully. I mean, that's how football works. It has nothing to do about anything else. And I'm just saying, like, I think revisiting it, you guys can see our point that we were making then. So really, I'm bringing it up, I guess, so you guys understand. They know what they're talking about on the Miller's Edge. That's all it is. All right. Keith is funny. He said, come on, Christian, you act like this is your show. He's joking because I was playing around saying, well, guys, I mean, the show is called The Miller's Edge. I mean, we're going to talk about probably what comes to the mind of Christian Miller, who hosts the show. That would be me. All right. Where should we pick up? So we got some phone calls we need to get to. We're talking about the SEC championship game. I definitely want to talk about the playoffs. I know there's plenty of app messages we need to get to. Where do we start, guys? Where do we start? Let's take another call real quick. Actually, no. Let's catch on. So let's get some messages real quick. Tia left an app message. We'll read her app message and while getting some of these chats real quick, and then we'll go to the phone line just because we're loaded today, which is good. Great problem to have. All right. Here's Tia's app message. Wait, is there two of them? All right. No, here it is. Tia, shout out to Tia out in California. What's wrong with the running game? Milrow masked a lot of the issues in the running game last year. Always push back on the talking point of the 1,000-yard rusher KDB had in Washington simply because of the conference. Remember, Ryan Grubb got fired after only 1 year at Seattle because they couldn't run the football consistently. So what's the real problem? Is it the scheme? Is it the running backs? Is it the offensive line? Also knowing Grubb has a reputation for being a my-way or the highway drill sergeant type who can be extremely stubborn, is this even fixable, or are we stuck with the same issues as long as he's calling the plays? Well, damn, that was one way to start hour number two. All right, well, we got the tape pulled up. Let me just give you one example. Where's this play we just ran? Here's my thing. It's a number of things, right? It genuinely is a number of plays. This split zone right here, some type of split zone action. You see Jeremy Bernard working back, right? You see how they're blocking it up. This is what I'm saying about, like, these little details matter. And we see these, at least what I fight consistently, boom. They've got a combo right here between the tight end and right tackle Michael Carroll on none other than Christian Miller, not me, but of Georgia. I think it's Kristen Miller, whoever. But anyway, they're supposed to be comboing him and climbing up to five. That's what Edwards is doing here. The problem is, if you're going to combo somebody, you got to get the guy, you know, you got to get push. There's no push. The guy, I mean, like the combo did nothing because you guys can see the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's literally pushing Michael Carroll back, even though he was supposed to be double teamed. That's not the only problem. Then you watch. Because we don't get push, because we don't finish the block, right? If you look at this, if Michael Carroll can finish, right, this block right here, I know this hole is closing up. We don't finish over here. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, you see good here. What you want is everybody to stay locked on those blocks because initially they were on those blocks, right? It's not like they had a ME. Look. Brailsford's on 94 initially. They're comboing there. He's climbing up. I understand five's right there, but boom, then he climbs up. What should naturally happen is if everybody executes and stays on those blocks, he should be able to climb. The back should be able to get to the second level, and then he'll have a situation where it's him one-on-one or whatever, the corner safety, and you should be guaranteed 5, 6, 7 yards off that play. I'm showing you guys the tape. I'm not just talking. You're seeing what I'm talking about. But because you have a failed combo block, you don't finish the block on 52 and 94, it goes for nothing. That's one of the most glaring things that I see on tape. We're not finishing blocks. So you got that number one. There's times we don't get great push. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot that is contributed to the running backs. Our running backs have not been playing great this season. They haven't. There's been times. Listen, if you go back, and we've watched it on here before, but if you guys want to go back and if you watch the Vanderbilt game, we had great execution with our blocks up front, and our running backs did a nice job hitting holes, exploding through, and they picked up a lot of yards on the ground that game, right? But it's not consistent. But if you go back and watch, like, that's the key to it. You got to get pushed, you got to execute, and you have to maintain blocks. We let guys shut us way too much. We don't finish blocks consistently. But I still don't, I mean, like, that's part of it, but the other part is the backs have to be better. I feel like there's times backs don't hit the right holes. I feel like there's times that backs dance a little bit. I feel like there's times that backs don't trust what their offensive line is doing in front of them instead of just hitting the hole. Go back and go watch. I'll flip the tape and let you guys watch, George. Go watch Nate Frazier. Watch his ass hit the hole sometimes. I mean, his ass is hit. He knows where he's going, and he's trusting his guys up front are doing their job, and he's hitting it. We don't see that consistently with our guys. So it's a really good question. And in terms of, you know, Ryan Grubb's part on it, I'm sure there are some things that, you know, could be tweaked there. But I've always said this, man, like, I'll call a coach out when they need to be called out. And there's definitely some things you probably could. But at the end of the day, man, they're not the ones that are on the field. Ryan Grubb called some type of split zone play here, some type of inside zone action, whatever. Cool. He's not the one on these combo blocks. That's why he goes and recruits 320-pound big high school kids to come do this. He's like, what, 5'9"? You know what I mean? So he can't combo block. They have to find a way. You know what I mean? So that what should have, and I get these gaps closed quick, and I understand you're like, well, 5 and 4. Listen, Daniel Hill will run over those guys and fall forward for 5-6 yards, maybe make a guy miss. You're not going to be able to block everybody. That's part of it. The goal in the running game is typically to get your guy on the second, third level and make him have like a one-on-one opportunity to make a guy miss. That's the running game for you. So in terms of what else could they do, I'll say this. If I had to say what type of run plays work for us, pin and pull, hitting the perimeter seems to be one of the better designs that we have. If you go back and watch Auburn, we ran a lot more on the perimeter. That seemed to have some more success. That was something they did a lot at Washington. We do it a lot here. So pin and pull type plays. Between the tackles, just for whatever reason, I mean, I guess you're seeing the reason. We're not really getting great push or consistently finishing. We're not very effective between the tackles. So I would almost say continue to try to work the edges, work the perimeter. That's what I would probably lean into. But again, guys have to execute. What happened here, right? This is a read by Ty. He ends up keeping the football. And again, what happens? The same thing we just look, same thing. Literally the same thing just happens here, right? Boom. What happens, right? They're running a little bit of a run stunt, which actually isn't too much of a problem here. They kind of, matter of fact, it actually takes them out of position because 52 takes himself out of the play. 94, we either call that a Tom or whatever, where they basically have a nose in the tackle doing some type of quick like run stunt, right? You can do it in pass rush as well. That said, they take themselves out of the play, but then look what happens. Brailsford done finish, and this guy blows Ty up. Look at the screen, guys. I mean, it's literally on the tape for you guys to see. Like, if Brailsford is finishing this block here, this guy doesn't cross his face, look at the lane that's opening up. I mean, yes, you got 6 coming. Maybe Ty makes a miss, maybe he doesn't. But again, that's like a guaranteed 5, 6, 7 yards to carry. But instead, what happens? We don't finish. Now, 72 is hurt. He's banged up. He's on one tire. So I'm not like knocking him too bad. I understand he's playing through it. He's tough. But this guy ends up crossing his face. That's what I'm saying. Like if you watch, it's a lot of little technique things. It's not like our guys can't do it. It's not like they're not tough enough or big enough or strong enough. I mean, they can do it. It's a technique thing. It's a technique thing. So really good question. I'll be honest. I know what you mentioned about Grubb. I know what they said. I feel bad trying to say like, oh, because I don't know too much about his history other than what we've heard. And that's one side of it. I don't know. Maybe I'd be curious. Maybe I should just go talk to him one day and ask him his philosophy on running the football. I don't know. Maybe I should. Let's see. Let's do this. Let's hit an early timeout now. Hit it a minute or two early because when we come back, I want to get to the phone lines. We got, let's see, we got Bama Boss up next. We've got T-Man coming up. We'll get to those guys. We'll continue talking about this, breaking it down. During the break, I'm going to keep breaking down film. I'm going to read all the chat here. So make sure you guys, if you have questions, just type like a Q and then write your question. That way I can get to it immediately because we're loaded here on the Miller's Edge on this Monday edition, which is great. Good problem to have, man. Welcome in, everybody. We got to hit a timeout when we come back. We'll keep on rolling right here, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny this afternoon, the high today 48. Cold tonight with a clear sky below 26. For tomorrow and Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny both days with a warming trend. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
In the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Here's another quick little clip before we go back to the phone lines. And this is when I talked about Georgia's defense doing a good job of providing pressure, but strapping things up on the back end. You see what they're doing right here, right? They're basically, they bring five. Of course, they got their linebacker in the equation. They got one of them. They got C.J. Allen in there. He's working a game. You see the loop stunt by 33, who I told you guys has been playing. 33 has really come along this year. I don't know if we saw much of him in the first game. I just don't remember much of him then, but I've been seeing a lot more of him. Thought he was solid. And you see what they've got five kind of, you know, hovering, picking up a late check down. I'm sorry. I couldn't think of the damn word. So this is what I'm describing about what Georgia did well, by the way, so people see this. I know we're quick to talk about what we do, which is right, but I also want to give credit. So they're not only getting pressure on Ty, they've got a linebacker that's sitting there waiting to pick up because they know, hey, what's something that Alabama's been doing recently, right? Quick little check downs or like late, you know, slippers like this. You see the guy slipping out late, tight end. So they got, boom, somebody for that. They're playing man on the back end, and we're strapped up. We're strapped up. So, I mean, like you can't really put that on Ty because where else is he supposed to play football? We're strapped up everywhere with Georgia's defense, and they got a safety just waiting to come crash down on it. So that's why I love tape, guys. That's why I'm a big tape person because the tape doesn't lie. You know what I mean? Like, you can listen to people just talk about stuff. The tape tells you the whole story, and we'll continue to keep going to it and keep breaking it down. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. We've got Bama Bossman up next. Welcome in, Bossman.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
It's good, man. It's been a minute, man. Everything good with you?
Yeah, no, you know, we still going through a thing on my contract for the on the show and stuff, and we still going back and forth about that.
The pastor of pain, man. I mean, he's pretty much long gone at this point, man. So I mean, hey, we can speed up the contract. We'll get you taking this spot, man. I'll send you over a computer, a mic, and a camera. We'll get you all set up, boss man.
Well, that'll be good because I got my lawyers involved. It's been going on too long. I've missed the whole season.
Yeah, that's on me, man. Flag on me, man. Flag on me. Talk to me, man. Okay. What do you think about this game this weekend, boss man?
I've seen Alabama lose games before, but we got beat, and that's what hurt me. And then the thing about it, I was in Atlanta. I wasn't at the game, but I was in Atlanta, and we was watching the game, and it was ugly. It was ugly. But believe it or not, that's really not the reason I called. I called because I got a question for you as a former player and as a, you know, analyst. Okay, if you were an AD of a big school, Alabama, Georgia, Miami, well, not Miami, but Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you schedule a game with Notre Dame where the benefit is all for Notre Dame and it's not for you one way whatsoever? And also my second point, they're crying about not getting in the playoffs, but they only get six games in a conference that they don't even belong to. The conference that they don't belong to was won by a team that had five losses. The two best games on their schedule, they lost Notre Dame. Okay, and then if they're in the playoff, every dime they make from the playoff goes to Notre Dame. But every other school that's in these playoffs, they have to split their money with the other 16, however many teams are in the conference. So why would I, as an AD of Alabama, say, well, okay, and we do got them on the future schedule, why would I play them? Because it does not benefit Alabama.
Yeah.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, I hear exactly what you're saying. What I would say is I think the solution is, oh, Notre Dame needs to join the conference, so then we can put all this to rest.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's literally like the most simple. Well, I don't know the process of it, but I would think that would just solve all these questions, right? Just get them to join a conference. Like, to me, I was even thinking about, after all the nonsense going on, in my head, I'm like, these are some quick solutions or things that you should do. Notre Dame needs to join a conference. Get rid of the whole, we have to include the G5 teams. And if we are going to feel like we want to give them an opportunity, make them schedule a minimum of maybe two Power Four teams, maybe one from the SEC, one from the Big Ten, during the regular season for their non-conference games or whatever it is. That way they have to prove during the year if they belong or not. Or just do some type of play-in. But, like, to me, I'm like, leaving a team like Notre Dame or Vanderbilt or, hell, even, I mean, BYU or Texas out, but then having, you know, and I know it's inclusion and stuff, but I'm like, to me, like, these teams are literally favored to lose these games by like 17 plus points, both 17, like 20, I think it is. That to me is not a playoff game. Like, that, you know, like, that's to me, it's a charity case. I'm sorry, I hate to sound harsh, but I'd rather see Texas go play Oregon. I'd rather see Vanderbilt play Oregon. I don't want to see Tulane.
And I never thought I had this come out of my mouth, but Vanderbilt is one of the 12 best teams. And I actually think they need to be in the playoffs. And I can't stand Pavia, as a, you know, but he runs that offense and he's a good quarterback and he does that good. And I actually think if anyone got screwed to me, it'll be them or someone like Texas. And like you said, Tulane and James Madison, there's no reason. The only reason they're in this is because they would sue the NCAA if they're not included. And instead of fighting a suit, they include two teams like this. But it's just a waste of time, and it messes everything up, and it causes teams that deserve to be in there that really fought through the masses to get there to not be able to get there.
And I understand I'm from the end of the James Madison, and it's like, what's the point of us playing it? We don't even have a shot. But that's why, to me, I'm like, I think what's going to happen is they're going to end up expanding the playoffs, right? It's almost inevitable at this point. I just feel like Notre Dame joining the conference solves a lot of issues. Hell, the way they decide the ACC championship teams, like those tiebreaker scenarios, why, like, to me, that's the dumbest thing, that a five-loss Duke team was in the ACC championship over the likes of Miami. That caused a lot of problems. That makes no sense. Yeah, there's a lot that needs to get cleaned up, boss man, but we're going to dive into that, trust me, because I got a lot of thoughts. I know a lot of people are hearing guys like Mark Ingram, guys like Damian Harris talk about, you know, their thoughts of whether Alabama should make it or not. So we definitely got to get to that, too, and we'll talk about it plenty tomorrow. You got anything else before we want to try to hit another phone call real quick?
No, I just wanted to get that off my chest. But like I said, we did, you know, I told you before, I don't like Tennessee and I don't like Auburn, but it really, the only game I don't want to lose is against Georgia. So like I tell you, I got this friend, I never knew he watched football until the championship, and I've been knowing him for 40 years. So, but I live closer to Georgia now. You know, my barber is a Georgia fan. So when I walk in the door, first thing he said, "Let him eat, woo!" And now I can't even get my hair cut. I can't get my beard shaved. But, you know.
Dang, when they take away your barbershop piece, that's when you know it's bad, man. Dang, boss, man.
Yeah, I know, man.
We got to get some get back for you, man. That way you can go get that clean shave nice and relaxed. You got to worry about them folks pestering you, man. Hey, it's good to hear from you, brother.
Good to hear from you. It ain't me. It's the contract. Go and get it straight, and I'm on every day.
That's right. I'm going to set it on over, man. Just drop that email. We're going to send it to you. Boss, man, we appreciate you, brother.
All right, man.
Yes, sir. Be easy. All right, real quick, before we move on phone lines, we're talking about the running game so much. I just want to continue because, guys, I'm not even clicking through. This is a sequence. This is this play after play, right? What do we have here? So for our radio listeners, just keep up with me. I promise I'm going to detail it so you guys can see or hear or picture, I should say, right? We're running a form of counter, right? We're pulling Vandermark, who was playing left guard in Dewberry's place. I understand that was another injury, but it's not like Vandermark has not played. He's borderline a starter, right? So you look at what we're running here. We got counter, boom, AKD, the freshman phenom everybody's been calling for. Poor guy doesn't have a chance. Well, initially it does. Look at this hole that's opening up. It looks good until you realize we've got a backer that's unblocked. And then you wonder, why is he unblocked? Well, you got Vandermark and Edwards. They're on the same guy who's literally like, guys, what was supposed to happen here was Vandermark was supposed to climb up. So he's pulling, right? I get he's trying to bang this guy, pause, or kind of chip him, right, hit that hip. But listen, you have to, like, the backer's sitting there on the second level and right in front of you, brother, right? If you see your tight end there, unless the tight end was supposed to climb and he's supposed to bang him out, regardless, you guys are seeing the common theme, guys. I mean, this ain't on Ryan Grubb, and this ain't on the back either. He's hitting the hole he's supposed to hit to, but look, there's a backer waiting on him because why? We have a bust. That's failed execution. So for everybody that keeps asking me about the running game, I'm just going to stop talking about it and just show you guys. That's it. I mean, like, you're seeing it right here. This is the all 22. You can see a perfect, hey, you see that there should be a hole right there for AK, but instead, we have two guys on the same guy instead of climbing up to five. That's all she wrote. And then look at the grass, guys. I mean, you see what we should be gaining. Instead, we finished with negative yards. That's why. All right, let's do this. Let's hit a timeout. We'll hit 1 2 minutes early. That way when we come back, we got T-Man. We're coming to him up next. We got Super Joe. Some other phone calls we'll get to. Plus, we'll keep on talking with you guys in the chat, breaking down the film right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. And real quick, don't forget about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Try before you buy. Nothing to lose. If you're dealing with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, they'll take care of it. You literally just put these Arch Supports in your shoes and they get to work. I wear them every day, whether I'm walking, running. It don't matter. These things are they're game changers, man. So let them be game changers for you. Just head on over to the Good Feet Store, Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa, or go to their website, goodfeet.com. You can see all the locations nationwide. They're all over the place. Plus, you just type in the zip code. It's real easy, and they've got plenty of information and videos you guys can read up on them. But I promise, just go on in the store and try them out, man. You won't be disappointed. That is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. It's like we like to do here on the show, improving the quality of your lives 2 hours at a time. Hopefully, unless we bring up Milrow, then people start getting mad in the app inbox. All right, we got a timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling Tide 100.9, 1230.
Hey, so we can help you with the protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate, are you in good hands? 248-0303.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back. back into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, we're still breaking down this game. I want to get to the playoff talk in a little bit, but I want to hit maybe one more phone call if we can real quick. 205-342-9904. We'll get to another one, but I meant before we switch the topic real quick. We got T-Man up next. T-Man, welcome in. T-Man, you with us? Going once. Going twice. All right, sold. I think he might have dropped. You want to circle back, man? 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. We got Super Joe up next. Super Joe, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, partner? How you feeling, man, Christian?
There he is. What's up, my guy?
Hey, ain't no complaint, man. Should I tell you what? You know, I was thinking about that game the other day, Bama and Georgia. But, you know, Hubbard spoke up well. You know, I mean, they're banged up. I mean, you got to look, we got 12 players out. Let's be a little realistic. Okay, it's not an excuse, okay. But look, sometimes you just got to be realistic. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. And like I said, it was a lot of leaking in the offense. You know, okay, we understand all that stuff. But, yeah, and it is hard to beat a team twice. And Georgia was hungry. And so, you know, they had won it. We got it. But then there's the bright side about this whole thing is their story there. Now, from what I understand, is that we're more likely going to get 9 players back.
Yeah, no, that's true. And listen, you're right. You definitely have to factor that in the equation, without a doubt. You know what I mean? Like that is a, you know, a big piece of your team when you're missing your tight end, who's been a huge part of your offense. Your, you know, center's banged up. You're talking about some other guys that went down. Like, I completely acknowledge that. But for me, like, I just know they had some guys banged up too. I know next man up mentality and. I didn't, like, yes, having those guys out, I thought made a difference. But at the same time, a lot of the other things that we were seeing in this game, some of that I couldn't sum up to, okay, because we're missing that guy. Some of it was the guys that have been playing and are playing, they're not playing at a high enough level right now. So, you know what I mean? No. I think it's a little bit of both. But you're right, though. I expect us to play much better football when we are much healthier, without a doubt. I do agree with that.
Yeah, and then plus then, I was looking and seeing some. They said a lot of players are now not going to be available on the Oklahoma defense. I heard there was a few of them that wasn't going to be available. It's something about because of entering the NFL draft or some other reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hearing some things about that.
Now, I'm not how true that is. Sure. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, what Alabama needs to do right now is focus on what they need to do to get better as a team. I wouldn't even really – if I was the coach, I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying if I'm the coaching staff, I wouldn't even worry about who's available and who's not for those guys. I'm worrying about how do I get my team back healthy and how do we get back in a rhythm offensively? Because defensively, even though this wasn't our best performance, right? Like we definitely, you know, we were put in some bad spots. Other than that, though, like offensively, man, like that's our Achilles heel right now. That's the biggest issue. And we have to find a way to get back in a rhythm.
Yeah, because that took, we got a very bad tooth decay on the offensive line, because right now, because our quarterback is not good for number Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We know he don't have the protection, and that's just how it's going to be. Because I mean, how if the 61 offensive line didn't block, how would Pat Trammell be able to do what he was supposed to do? You know, that's just how it is. I mean, you can say good quarterback all you want, but if that quarterback ain't got no protection and nobody receiver to throw to, then what can he prove?
True. It's interesting to see. I mean, what we can come up with offensively to kind of get our guys back playing. Because look, I mean, we had a stretch in the middle part of the season where this offense was one of the best offenses in the country. Right. Even though we had some, you know, inconsistencies in our running game, and we were still very effective, and we had to find a way to get those guys back to playing like that. I have a feeling that having this time, I mean, we have about 2 weeks or so to get back on track, to get healthy, get everything kind of back in gear. I have a feeling that when you see Alabama play next, we're going to look like a much better football team. I'm not saying that's a guarantee. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but something tells me that this time off is going to do us really well. Because think about this. We went on a long stretch during the middle of the year, then you come back from the bye week, and I'm not saying it was as much of a stretch, but still, I mean, you had some competitive games, and you had guys beaten up, and look, I think we just need some time off, and I think it can do us well. Not saying it's a guarantee, Super Joe, but I think that will probably have an effect on us next time we see us take the field.
Hell yeah, because like I said, we go out there and just like, you know, get a little healthy, and then we're going to see a whole lot different Alabama team. Even like Sugar Ray Leonard fighting Roberto Duran the first time out, he went toe-to-toe, which was out of his game plan. But when he fought like the real Sugar Ray in that second time, Roberto Duran had to throw in the towel and say, no mas. We want to make sure that Boomer Sooner is going to feel Doomer a whole lot sooner. we want to make sure that's what happened in the rematch.
That's right. Yeah, we got to make sure of something, though, because it's our turn to get some get back. Georgia obviously got theirs, but it's our turn to get ours on Oklahoma. December 19th, so we're about 11 days away, something like that, man. We'll see that at that point. Hey, Super Joe, man, we got a little bit of time, and we got a couple more things we got to dive into, so we're going to keep it rolling. But I appreciate you calling in, man.
Take care, partner.
Yes, sir. Take care, man. I love his energy, man. And then his bars, man. He must be like an underground battle rapper or something. He's kind of has that vibe to him. He's got some good bars, man. All right, real quick. This is the interception, the play that you guys are definitely curious about. I know you're asking. Nice job by Georgia here. And we'll get to this point here in a second. Ty did miss something really big on this play, but Georgia's showing cover zero, which cover zero is straight up man, right? Cover one is just man coverage with, a free safety deep. Cover zero would be literally everybody's manned up. So it looks like they're showing some form of zero. Why? Because they've got five guys in line of scrimmage, six with the guy, if you count him in the box, that looks like he's about to show, right? So boom, as a quarterback, you're saying, hey, they're showing cover zero, right? Man across the board. We see what happens. They do similar to what Oklahoma was doing with us, right, with some of those simulated pressures where they're showing a lot of guys up front, but then they have like two guys drop and ends up being, that's what a simulated pressure is. It's showing you're bringing a lot of pressure, but you really end up dropping guys and you only bring about four. That's what ends up happening. The edge, he pops, right? And then the other guy, I forgot which one it just was, but he pops. They end up only bringing one, two, three, four guys. But this is what happens here on this play. Again, I can't remember the down and distance. Let me see if I can go back. You know what? I'm not even going to fool with it. I don't remember the down and distance exactly, but they pop, and we're trying to hit Horton on this over route on the back, right? You see him, right? We're trying to attack the middle part of the field, which Ty has done a really nice job of as of late, but earlier in the year, he was one of the best in the country at doing this. This is what I'm thinking, guys, because we saw him throw the pick trying to attack the middle part of the field against Eastern Illinois. He threw another one here. I think, again, you got to remember this too, guys. The more tape these guys have, like these defenses, they're going to start breaking stuff down. They know we want to attack. We attack the middle part of the field a lot. And if you see, like, against Eastern Illinois, that guy, he's like a rat player, a hole player is what we call him. He had a lot of depth. I guarantee you, and I talked about this, I guarantee you he was coached up to play with more depth, knowing that we like to hit, you know, these route concepts in the middle of the field. You see similarly here. Initially, this safety, right, he was working with depth, but watch him kind of just naturally float back in. Look, we have three guys, right, all between the hashes. And Ty is trying to force this football there, even though, like, listen, if you move this guy out the way, yes, I mean, that's a good throw. I don't know if Ty doesn't see this player. I don't know what made him force this. The unfortunate part, and I know his hindsight is 20/20, but Ty completely misses the tight end with the late release. And my thing is, if you see this, all this clogged up right here early on, and he had a throw against Georgia in the first game that had a similar look, and he fitted in there. And remember, we were bragging about it. It doesn't always go your way. And really good defense by Georgia again, showing pressure. They pop out. I mean, really, there's nowhere to throw this football except here. And if you're Ty, immediately when you see, look, that's his key. That's who he's trying to hit. If that's not there, the next progression is you start like either just throw it away, maybe even just try to scramble if you can. But really, if you know, which Ty knows, this is an element of this play / the offense, we have late releases. In his head, his timing needs to say, boom, it's not there. He obviously is not going to try to hit any of these guys deep. You got this corner sitting under here, this safety over the top here, right? He should flash and go straight to boom. If he's not throwing it away, just know he has a check down here, which nobody's on this guy. I mean, this guy would be the closest guy. Well, he would technically, but they end up breaking on it. You're still going to gain probably at least at the minimum 10 yards. These are the type of things that Ty has to clean up. right? Like that doesn't have to do with like not having the running game, stuff like that. The pressure is the aspect I'm referring to with that. But this is just a decision. These are the things we've seen more of out of Ty. I know somebody will say we're making excuses for him, but nobody's making excuses. I'm calling it what it is. He has a lot of pressure on him, which I think leads to some of his mistakes. This right here, maybe he's trying to force it because he feels like we need something right here. You can't do that, though, right? And he knows that. But it just you hate going back and watching saying, damn, if he would have just gone through his reads and just seen Pritchett leaking out, I mean, that's an easy completion and a complete swing because they end up, you know, taking 7 points. We call that a potential 14-point swing. We're marching in the field. That could have been, you know, 7 for us. Instead, it turns into 7 for them. That's a potential 14-point swing in the game. That, I mean, and you guys see that it hurts when you go and see that one guy that literally was, you know, wide open leaking out. But again, remember, guys, hindsight is 20/20, right? So don't just go, oh, he's dumb. He didn't know. Listen. You see, before he really truly leaked out, he already made that decision, right? His hand's off the ball. He's about to let it rip. I just wish he would say, nope, I'm not forcing that. I'm either throwing it away or let me just check and see if my check down's here. Boom. But, you know, it was what it was. Can't go back in time. But like I said, man, tape always tells the whole story, man. Numbers can lie. Men lie. Women lie. But tape does not lie. We got to hit timeout when we come back. We'll talk a little bit about the playoff conversation because we got one more segment to do, and I'm really curious on y'all's thoughts on that. And I know they all had some strong opinions about some of these former players with their opinions. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And don't forget tomorrow we'll have plenty more time talking about all this stuff, SEC championship game and playoff picture, because we'll be joined by Chris Lowe, formerly of ESPN On Three Now, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, Brooks Austin of the Film Room. Right, literally. We're loading tomorrow, so make sure you guys are subscribed on here, tuning in Tide 100.9, download that app, all that good stuff, because we got plenty more rolling at you right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
It's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny this afternoon, the high today 48. Cold tonight with a clear sky, the low 26. For tomorrow and Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny both days with a warming trend. The high tomorrow 52, the high Wednesday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We got to talk a little bit about the playoffs, which will do that. I'll keep the tape up here and we'll kind of skip through it. But I want to mention this because I'm just curious y'all's thoughts. And I wanted to talk about it briefly while we have one last segment here for today. But again, if you guys are new, you're hanging around, whatever, make sure you guys subscribe. That way you stay up to date. Make sure you guys download Tide 100.9 app. We do this Monday through Friday, 11 to 1. So this isn't just like some like, hey, we're just hopping on here, just doing a stream. Make sure you guys stay today and follow us on all social media platforms at the Miller's Edge. That said, all right, talking real quick about the playoff picture. Alabama, in fact, gets in the playoffs. Matter of fact, they don't even move at all, right? Alabama stayed at number 9 despite getting beat down by Georgia in the SEC championship game. This is what I'll say about it, guys. Was I shocked that we made the playoffs? No, because I felt strongly, and this is what me and Gray talked about on our postgame show, if they made the decision to take Alabama out of it, you're setting the precedent up that teams can be penalized for playing in a conference championship game. But, you know, it's really interesting. If you go back, I mean, like Georgia lost in the SEC championship game. They moved back a few spots. I remember at one point, like, it seems like this committee just like everything is always, you know, shuffling around or changing this and that. It's all over the place at times. But this was my thing. Even after we got beat 28-7 by Georgia, I still felt like because of that, you can't. Alabama did not deserve to be punished for playing an extra game. That is true. However, I did think in the back of my head, well, we did just show them the last time that they saw us play a football game before they went to the meeting room and made that decision. We got beat down 28-7 by Georgia. a team that, yes, we went on the road and beat in their backyard. A lot of people do feel like that might have been the best win of the college football season. However, the last time they saw you with the eye test, you get beat down bad. So I was a little concerned that maybe that could have some influence, but ultimately it didn't. Alabama comes in at number 9. We get matched up with Oklahoma. We get granted our rematch. We know we've, you know, kind of been eyeing that potentially, knowing that they got to sit at home and they were automatically going to be in the playoffs regardless of what happened this past weekend, because they didn't have to play an extra game. And that's why it wouldn't have been fair if Alabama was punished. That said, let me just say this, because I know, and I don't have enough time to play the clips. I know people are really mad at, you know, even Mark Ingram, who love Mark Ingram, but he came out and he said he didn't think Alabama deserved to make it after getting beat like that. And I know Damian Harris really had some strong reactions to us and, you know, the whole playoff picture. I'll say this. I know people are saying, oh, well, they're just being emotional. I don't think they're being emotional. I think when you watch the game, like from like a former player perspective, like we're watching it, and I'm not saying it's like, oh, so we're watching it a better way than y'all. I'm just telling us, just being honest, we're not watching it from a space of like the inner workings of the game, right? Like that's why y'all come and ask me all these questions about what's going on, right? That's how we're programmed. So when you watch what we've been putting on tape, I would argue it wasn't just about what happened in the SEC championship game. I think it's more so if you're really honest with yourself about how Alabama has looked over the last 4 or 5 games, it has not looked great. Like, I think we can agree on that, right? Like, let's take the crimson glasses off and let's just be honest. I'm not trying to come to bat for my B-side 5 brothers. I'm just being honest. We have not looked great. However, I do feel like given all the criteria, we deserved without a doubt to be in the college football playoffs. I think 2 things can be true. I think it just depends on what you put more into, right? If you lean more into the eye test and on like a football level of, hey, man, what teams, you know, are good football teams? Like, I understand certain ways of seeing things. Our resume, without a doubt, we deserve to be in there. I mean, like, nobody can deny that. Out of all the quote-unquote bubble teams, we clearly had the best resume. Like, there's no debating that. However, if I was part of a committee and I'm sitting here and I'm saying, well, let me look at, you know, the field right now. I know Notre Dame's schedule is trash. I know, you know, their resume isn't nearly what ours is. But watching how they're playing football right now, and even Coach Saban and others said the same thing, they look like a playoff team as well. Unfortunately, since they don't have a conference that they belong to and they don't have a strong resume, it worked against them. And I'm not complaining that they're not in, but I just wish there was a way we could have these other teams, or all of us in, right? And not have the, no disrespect to JMU or, you know, the small schools, the Group of 5, Tulane and whatnot. It's just, to me, I mean, you look at like Notre Dame and Jeremiah Love and, you know, how they're playing right now. I would much rather them be in the spot that Tulane's in. So let me be clear, because I don't want people adding me to the list of former players in the media that y'all are like exiling. Don't exile. Hey, listen, Alabama deserved to be in the playoffs, because when you include the resume, strength of schedule, right, the wins, all that good stuff, Alabama without a doubt deserves to be in the playoffs. I'm not arguing that. But what I will say is the way we've played really offensively the past 4 or 5 weeks, just call it for what it is, man. It is concerning when you look at this Alabama football team and try to picture them having a chance to really go all the way. That's just me being completely transparent. And I love Bama. I want Bama to win. But I'm just going to be honest with you. If we don't clean things up offensively, and I think anybody who takes the glasses off would agree, if we don't fix things offensively, we're probably not going to win a national championship. I mean, we didn't have things fixed offensively. We just played a really good Georgia team who is in the playoffs, and you saw what happened. Now, you know, take Indiana, take Ohio State, some of these other teams that also still have that ability to match up like that. We have to make some changes. But like I mentioned before with Super Joe, I think some time off, getting some guys healthy, I think that will do us well, and hopefully we can, you know, play a little bit better offensively for sure. Special teams, I mean, we got to be better. And the reason I'm saying special teams, I know you're like, well, Talty didn't kick it. Listen, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying like punt coverage, like look at Georgia and like where they fielded the football, right? I mean, like we got to be better in all phases in terms of special teams. Reed, Chase, you guys have any thoughts real quick? I know we got about like 1 minute left on that whole deal. I know we're all excited about the rematch against Oklahoma, but was there anything surprising to you? I mean, I know we didn't really mention, but Miami did switch spots with Notre Dame. To me, I think the committee, they're kind of all over the place. They're trying to make it seem like, oh, well, because they weren't next to each other, we didn't really have to do the head-to-head thing yet. But I was like, why does that – you still should have probably figured that in like 4 or 5 weeks ago. But real quick, y'all have any thoughts real quick?
No, I think you pretty much just said what I was going to mention about the whole Miami-Notre Dame situation. I think waiting until the final, like, official bracket to do it was kind of sketchy a little bit. And then outside of that – really surprised we didn't drop to 10 instead of 9. I was more expecting because I like how Ohio State dropped back one, even though that game was a lot closer. I get that was the first matchup between Indiana and Ohio State, and we kind of split the series with Georgia. I would have at least expected us to drop one, but I mean the matchup I think is going to be great. If we just limit the turnovers against Oklahoma, which, you know, of course we're looking ahead, but, you know, I think we got a good bid, though.
I do, too. I think looking at that matchup, we know we played Oklahoma before, and you take out those turnovers. I think we bode well playing against the Oklahoma team. It's not going to be easy, but I think that's a solid matchup. But then Indiana, I think some fans are a little, you know, kind of overlooking them. They're a good football team. They're number one seed for a reason. But listen, you got to take it one day at a time, one step at a time, and we'll worry about Oklahoma first. But I do think out of all the spots, it probably ended up, you know, working a little bit in our favor. That'll do it for us here on this Monday edition. Don't forget, again, tomorrow we got Chris Lowe. We got Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. We got Brooks Austin, the film guy network, all tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge. So make sure you guys subscribe. Make sure you guys are tuning in to Tide 1.9, all that good stuff at the Miller's Edge. And we'll see you guys then right here at Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.